Ramsey TV.
Okay, well, you all could tell I was a hot mess yesterday. Kind of hot right now, actually. I was at level 8 pain, level 8 depression, level 8 frustration, level 8 despair. I was just really, it took me half the show to find it. But I found it. Maybe not quite half the show. Maybe before that I found it. But yeah, that was a rough go. But you know, the show must go on. If I can't deliver passion, I won't make a show. Or if I can't speak correctly, I mean, I'll just do it in a whisper. You know, I do pretty good up close to the mic, being, you know, like, I can make a whole show like that. I think you'd appreciate it. Anyway, yeah, you know who this is and where you are. It's Martin Zender. You're at MCTV. I'm glad I was in a bad way yesterday, because I really went off on my book, The First Idiot in Heaven, on how necessary it is. And I was getting frustrated, not with you, but with people who fall in love with the Israel gospel. But I mean, there are a certain amount of people who are legitimately falling in love with it. But I always try to cajole people into Paul's gospel. And so I was explaining that. At one point, the show was around the 8:56 mark. I'm saying, hey, if you want to be offered forgiveness instead of being justified, if you want to be on the earth during the tribulation, you know, if you want to have to endure to the end to be saved, if you want to be martyred, if you want to have your head cut off, if you want all that, okay, join Israel. But you'll always be a second-class citizen. You will always be a second-class citizen in the Israel gospel. The only way I'm slightly better today, pain-wise, because I'm breaking the law. I mean, I'm really breaking the law. I triple down on my medication. Triple. That's the only way I can get near it. And then I did two other medications on top of tripling down on a prescription. But I have to, because nothing else was getting it. Anyway, you've seen why. Anyway, okay, so that's why I'm getting through this. So it's a day at a time, not even a day at a time. It's like a minute at a time. So I'm not going to waste any more time talking about that. I'm glad I went off. And I said, why don't you people who think that the Israel gospel is so great just... why don't you just read The First Idiot in Heaven? It's the only book. It's the only book besides the scriptures that you need. It will make sense of every question you have in the scripture. And then I used the F word quite eloquently, I think, because I was getting frustrated at the people who think that the Israel gospel, the circumcision gospel, the law gospel, it's a law gospel. That the law gospel is easier. That there's a gospel for unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid idiots. I say, well, just all you got to do is read one fucking book. Wouldn't you rather read one fucking book than go through the tribulation? Because there are 144,000 who go through the Day of Indignation, and then there's a group of people called the Body of Christ who are not appointed to indignation, Paul says. And then he tells a secret to those people, that they will be snatched away and made immortal and not have to go through a trial that belongs to Israel. It's called the tribulation. It was also that was prophesied by Daniel, who was, what, an Israelite? And the tribulation is about adjusting the world and Israel in particular. And we are administrators of God's peace, 2 Corinthians 5, God's conciliator to the world. And we are the ambassadors of peace. And so when a country declares war on another country, they withdraw their ambassadors from the country before they drop a single bomb. Before God drops a single bomb on the earth via the tribulation, he's going to withdraw his ambassadors of peace. Paul tells us this in a secret. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. It's just, why don't you just read my fucking book? So I got to a guy. I like this guy, okay? You got to be patient with him. He's a tough customer. He looks tough, but I like him. I really like him. He commented on yesterday's video, and he said at 8:56, the 8:56 mark, I am sorry. What? Like, I'm sorry. What? And he says, we have a weird double gospel here thing. Oh, no, let me say that again. I'm going to make sure I get the right nuance, the dripping despisement of what he now despises, but what he's soon going to delight in and thank me for. And he won't be able to thank me enough for it. But now it's like condescension. That's the word I'm looking for. Okay, I'm going to make sure I get the right tone of condescension here. Okay. We have a weird double gospel thing here, don't we? So he's looking at all of us here, and he's saying we got a weird double gospel thing here, don't we? And then there's a sigh, like we've really disappointed Brad Vance. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, he's a good guy. Hear him out. But, you know, it gets worse before it gets better. He says, the first idiot in heaven is not the title of a book that is speaking the real truth to humanity. No, but it actually is the title of a book that is speaking real truth to humanity. It actually is the title of a book that I wrote. It really is the title of a book. And it's speaking truth to the 5,000 people who have bought copies. 5,000. It's speaking truth to them. Whether they believe it or not, it's not my department. I'm a herald. I herald the truth. I can't control whether they believe it or not. But it's speaking it. The first idiot in heaven is not the title of a book that is speaking the real truth to humanity. Yeah, it actually is. And you're about to find out. But then he doubles down. He goes, I am sorry, it isn't. There's the condescension. I'm sorry, it just isn't. It's like, Martin Sander, don't be telling me the first idiot in heaven. See, you're judging a book by its cover. You don't like the title. You don't like the cover. But you haven't even read the book. And this delights me. I'm actually excited about this because of what happens next. He despises the book just by the name of it. This can't be a book that actually speaks truth. I'm sorry, it just isn't. Then he says, I'll read it. When I read that, at first I was a little like, yeah, son of a bitch. And then I thought, I like this guy, Brad Vincent. He's coming in here before. I've seen him here before. I'll read it. So he got my, that's good. He's damn sure going to read it now. I'll read it. But I am going to despise it. I'm quoting him. I'll read it, but I'm going to despise it. But this guy's, and you know why he's going to despise it? Because you're going to leave basic questions and objections unanswered. Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? I'm going to leave basic questions and objections unanswered. Do you know what this entire audience is doing now besides you, Brad? They're going, oh God. They're laughing. Because for one thing, you don't know me that well. Another thing, you haven't read the first idiot in heaven. What's the one thing I haven't been doing for 33 years? Leaving basic questions and objections unanswered. In fact, I answer the most basic questions, but I'm also the guy who answers the toughest questions. And I've read some of these questions to you. I've gone into the most difficult passages of Scripture and explained them in simple, satisfactory ways. But this guy is treating me pretty shoddily, a little disrespectfully, to be honest with you, a little condescendingly. But I'm a man of grace. I'm a target. I'm an author. I'm in the public arena. I am certainly able to be challenged like this. Anyone can have any opinion about me that they want. The proof's in the book. And you, sir, will be sent the book. You have to give me your address, send it to my sister, whatever you can. I told you, I gave you the email address. Martin Zender. I gave it to you yesterday. I forget what it is. I mean, I know what my personal email address is, but I'm not ready to give you that. You sound a little, I'm not ready to give you that. I'll read it, but I'm going to despise it because you're going to leave basic questions and objections unanswered. Cynicism in advance. Well, at least he's honest. I appreciate his honesty. Cynicism in advance. This is one of the most complicated and contrived gospels I have ever heard. You haven't even heard it. Complicated and contrived? Okay, let me finish his letter, and then I'll just comment. Finish his post. And then he makes another post that really I should make a whole other show about because it's such a great post. Today and tomorrow are going to be Brad Vincent Day, okay? I thought I was going to get both of this done today, but I really see that I have to spend more time on these two Gospels. I'm going to give you my answer to him that's public. But his second comment, he really compliments me on a minute passage, but he wants, and to credit this him again, he says, 1420 to 1520, great bit. Would you elaborate? Oh, would I love to elaborate, Brad. And I'm so glad you asked me to elaborate. So he called that a great bit, and I'll tell you why he called it a great bit. And then it's encouraging me that he wants me to elaborate, and I will elaborate. And I got some good stuff for you coming tomorrow. I thought I was going to do it all today, but I always chew off more than I can bite. No, that's not right, is it? No, I bite off more than I can chew, yeah. Has anybody ever chewed off anything? Has anybody ever chewed off more than they can bite? Oh, some species of worm. I didn't know that. Interesting. Some species of worms have chewed off more than they can bite. I just have to read this again because it's so precious. Because this is the before picture of Brad Vincent. Let me see if I can finish reading. I'm going to start from the beginning and just read all through the entire post. This is the before Brad Vincent. After he reads the book, we're going to get the after Brad Vincent. Okay, but this is the before. At 8:56 mark of yesterday's video. I'm sorry, what? We have a weird double gospel thing here, don't we? With a frown face. The First Seat in Heaven is not the title of a book that is speaking the real truth to humanity. I'm sorry, it isn't. I'll read it, but I'm going to despise it because you're going to leave basic questions and objections unanswered. Okay, come on. Cynicism in advance. This is one of the most complicated and contrived gospels I have ever heard. But there are positives on this channel. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad I went ape shit yesterday. And I made a big deal out of First Seat in Heaven. That was because I was in tremendous pain. I was so discouraged, so depressed. I had to get off kratom, cold turkey. Not a good time to do that, but I did it. I'm doing it. And as some terrifying medical things I have to do tomorrow morning anyway. But yeah, anyway. So, yeah, I went a little nuts, and I'm glad I did because I got Brad's attention, and it caused him to say, what the hell is Zend getting so excited about? Well, I can see now that you don't know me that well. I thought I've seen you before, but you really don't know me. That's okay. You will. But there are positives on this channel, such as no eternal hell, basic timeline structures. I assume he's talking about the eons, and mild amounts of hope. That was an amusing comment. Mild amounts of hope. Something tells me that Brad is a bit of a Eeyore. Brad's an Eeyore, a cynic. But there's a lot of Eeyores and cynics out there. I'm actually one of them, to be honest with you. I get where Brad's coming from. Mild amounts of hope. No, there's no hope in this channel. I'm going to correct you on that. That has been a word that has been mistranslated in most English translation. Concordant translates it expectation. So there's, if you're looking for hope, you come to the wrong place. We don't have hope. Oh, I hope God can save everyone. I hope Jesus' sacrifice was good enough for at least me. I hope that God can fulfill his promises. I hope that the prophecy about the snatching away is not a lie. I hope the Bible's true. No. We don't have hopes here. We have expectations. I'm going to go to the Greek word here. It's a live Bible study. Expedient. It's got to come right before expedient. Expectation. Yeah, the Greek word is elpis. E-L-P-I-S. God, it was translated hope 33 times translated hope in the King James Version. Expectation. Translated hope 33 times. It was translated expectation 33 times in the Concordant Version. Mild amounts of hope. No, we have great amounts of expectation. And then he says, but a simple gospel? Sounds like it relies on a lot of finely tuned arguments. Did I actually say it was a simple gospel? I said it was a gospel for idiots. It's a gospel for non-Israelites. It's a gospel for people who don't want to be baptized or circumcised or do the law or go through the tribulation or have to endure to be saved, or who don't want to rely on the dubious ground of forgiveness because pardons can be revoked. It's for those people. It's simple in that it's of the grace of God, period. And tomorrow, I'm going to bring you a great message on the grace of God. It's simple because, and here's the thing. I'll tell you why it is simple. I told you why it wasn't. In some ways, it's not, only because you have to extract it from Peter's gospel. But it's not too hard to do when you're trained in it. It's not too hard to do. In fact, there's a verse that states it so clearly that it can't be mistaken. But you want to talk about complicated and contrived, Brad? What's complicated and contrived is trying to merge divergent truths. Like Paul saying we're saved by grace apart from works. James saying, no, you can't just have grace alone. You have to have works. You're not saved by grace alone. Clash. What is complicated and contrived is trying to put those two things together. What's complicated and contrived is trying to explain justification and forgiveness at the same time. Forgiveness assumes guilt. You have to be guilty in order to be forgiven. Justification denies guilt. You know what's complicated and contrived? And I would love to hear you try to explain to us how justification and forgiveness work at the same time. That'd be fascinating. No. Or how we can say we are saved by faith alone and no works, or how we have to have some works to show that we have faith, as proof that we have faith. Yeah. Theologians have been arguing about that for centuries. You understand that, I'm sure, right? So you have to explain baptism versus Paul says no baptism. Jesus says go out and baptize all the nations. Paul says there's only one baptism. I'd like you to explain the one baptism. Is it water or is it spirit? Yeah. There's a lot of other things that I mentioned in the book that you have to contrive a foreign gospel. And this is what Christianity has done. Christianity has done this, Brad. I'm glad you've seen the dark underbelly of Christianity in that they have screwed up the salvation of all. They don't know anything about the eons. But this is the major mistake they're making. This is one of the major mistakes they're making. Is they're not distinguishing grace from law. They're not distinguishing Peter from Paul. They're not distinguishing justification from forgiveness. They're not distinguishing heaven from earth. They're not distinguishing baptism from no baptism. Circumcision from uncircumcision. Oh, speaking of that, Sounds like it relies on a lot of finely tuned arguments. Now, they're pretty broad in general and easy to understand arguments. You don't have to squint. You don't have to be in a special club. I do not write in an esoteric fashion. This is not a mystery. I don't try to sound smart in the first thing you didn't have. And just look at the title, which you hate, which you're going to love in a short amount of time. But I would direct you to Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul says, on the contrary, perceiving that I have been entrusted with the evangel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision. There it is, right there. How simple can you get? Simple, Brad. I'd like to hear you explain how that's the same gospel. Now, if Paul had said, I have been entrusted with the evangel to the uncircumcision, according as Peter to the circumcision, then we might suppose that it would be the same gospel. The character of these gospels are different. And this is one of the major things Christianity has screwed up. And I think you're going to end up like Wild Boar. Wild Boar was indeed a wild boar. He used to comment here a lot, and he used to just, he hated me for two gospels, for bringing this up. He just, Brad, you're an amateur at condescension and belittlement. When you get to Wild Boar, well, he had it down pat, and he used to just mock me to no end until the day he got it. And now it's his like major thing, and it really helps to it shores everything up. What's difficult is if you have to put all these disparate truths in one basket. But now suddenly someone hands you two baskets. Oh my God, the whole Bible makes sense now. The whole Bible makes sense. One basket for Israel, one basket for the nations, one basket for earthly stuff, one basket for celestial stuff, one basket for justification, one basket for forgiveness, one basket for heaven, one basket for earth, one basket for Peter, one basket for Paul, one basket for law, one basket for grace. Oh my God, when you take two baskets down every aisle of the freaking Bible, then it's simple. Simple, really. I'm sorry. Once you see the verses, it's like you'll see it. It'll be so great. I can't wait to read. You have to read it now because we're going to all hold you accountable. Okay, Brad, I like you. I like you. I love your question. You're very direct. I can tell. Yeah, you're a little bit diabolical. I like that about you because I guess I'm a little bit diabolical too. It doesn't rely on a lot of finely tuned arguments. Paul says also, rightly divide the word of truth, or concordance says correctly cut the word of truth. That's not a finely tuned argument. That's like saying, this is for Israel, this is for the nations, this is for justification, this is for forgiveness, this is for law, this is for grace, okay? This is for the circumcision, this is for the uncircumcision. This is for, okay, and on and on and on it goes. I think there are 37 key differences between these two gospels. They're not very fine. They're not very fine. Pretty obvious. And I list them. I explain every one of them in the second half of the book. Oh my God, you're going to love this book. I'm not going to leave any basic questions and objections unanswered. And even if I did, you know the author. My God, what a privilege. You know the author. Even though I've never met you, never spoken with you, but you know the author. And you have the privilege of being able to come here, read the book, and ask me a question that something you don't understand. I'm going to leave objections unanswered. I swear to God, I will not leave one of your objections unanswered. And I'm going to pay for your book, okay? I'm going to personally pay for your book. I will personally answer any objections you have after reading it. I'm not saying you won't have any questions, or I am saying you won't have any objections, but I'll answer your questions. Okay, deal? Brad's the deal. Boy, I got a great show tomorrow, too. I thought I was going to get it all in today. Who do I think I am? Oh, wait, I'm Martin Zender, Words Most Outspoken Bible Scholar. Yeah, I probably could do it. I could do it, but I'm not going to do it. Brad Vincent later says, 1420 to 1520, great bit. Would you elaborate? It's a bit on how Christians can be so ignorant of the fact that they are seeking to establish their own righteousness. I know what you mean, Brad. It's a shock to me. It is a great bit because it's true, and we can see how they, anybody that wants to go back and listen to 1420 and 5 to 1520, it'll prepare you for tomorrow's show. I already have the notes written down. I already know where I'm going. Yeah, it's a shock every day to learn that there are billions of people who think that they are not relying on themselves. They think they have faith in Christ, but they don't realize that the faith they have is in their faith in Christ. So they're one step removed from the truth. Now that, my friend, is a finely tuned argument, because we're slowing down the film to show Satan's sleight of hand. We're showing Satan's sleight of hand. That's very tricky for Satan to get literally billions of people to think that they're not self-righteous. I found the perfect Christian guy. Oh my God, I found this guy. What's his name? I found this guy, Scott LaPierre Ministries. And this article is titled, "The Danger of Self-Righteousness and Understanding Justification." And he is actually trapped in self-righteousness, and he has no understanding of justification. None. And I will prove that tomorrow. It'll be so delightful. And it's a shock, I know. So I'm going to elaborate on that. Thanks, Brad, because you got me in search. I found this yo-yo. But he is so delicate. You got to see the sleight of hand. Anyway, I answered Brad concerning the two Gospels. I said, "Dear Brad, you are the perfect person to read this book." No, this is not a weird double gospel thing. It is a clearly stated two gospel thing. And I quote Galatians 2:7. I say, "Your advanced cynicism is perfect. I will send you a free copy. I'll pay for it if you promise to read it and report back here." So I'm still waiting for the promise. You promise to read it and report back here. You're on the hook now, and we ain't about to let you off.